You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
And welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy Daily. I'm your host this go-around, Jake McCandless. I lead Stand Firm Ministries, where we're helping believers stand firm in such a time as this. And in this episode, I am continuing to relay information that I found on the ground while in Israel. I want to say recently, but it was end of February. I guess it's becoming not so recent. But went to Israel to tour the sites that were attacked on 10/7, to hear from survivors, parents of hostages, to officials and officials in the IDF. And so over the last several episodes, I've just been unpacking that trip, that journey. And I'm going to continue that today, but we're going to move away from a bit from that, just that attack, what, you know, the information regarding that. And I want to look to prophecies being fulfilled right before our eyes. So as I saw those sites and had conversation after conversation, and sat in these debriefings with officials and leaders, I really felt like I'm just watching prophecy unfold, especially in three specific areas. So the plan is I'm going to do three episodes, one on each of these areas. And I may be putting the cart before the horse. I have no idea how many episodes it's going to take, but I am talking about three prophecies being fulfilled right before our eyes that we're eyewitnesses to. And this first one's going to take two episodes, because with each of these, I want to start with the biblical foundation of this prophecy and then get to talking about how I'm seeing it unfold right before our eyes. And I'm starting with a prophecy that you didn't have to go to Israel to know this is being fulfilled before our eyes. There's been several episodes already on this subject. You know it well, but I was just really shocked from the time I was over there in July of 23 to February 24, how much this had progressed, how much the buzz of this on the ground had increased, and that is the fulfillment of a new temple being built and the sacrifices restarting. Again, right, you don't have to be on the ground there in Israel to see this unfolding, but this is huge. But before I dive into that and the other two prophecies, I felt like, man, this is unfolding. Bible prophecy is unfolding right before our eyes. We have to realize a lot has already unfolded, right? We cannot forget. We cannot lose sight of the fact of throughout the entirety of the Old Testament, we see this prophecy, this promise that Israel would ultimately be scattered around the world and then in the last days be gathered back. And this has happened right before our eyes. And I know I'm speaking to the choir on this. You're aware of that. But we can't lose sight of this. We can't just run to a hot new topic and just forget this is going on. This has happened. Because this is huge. Because from 70 to 115 AD, you have the scattering taking place. And it continues. For nearly 2,000 years, the late 1800s, you have a small group of Jews returning back to the land of Israel. Especially this happens 1948 as Israel becomes a Jewish state. Of course, they get control of Jerusalem in 1967. But it really wasn't until 2005 that you have more Jews in Israel than any other one place in the world. This is happening right before our eyes. We can't lose sight of that. But once they return to the land, we then have prophecies of other things that will be fulfilled. And I feel like those things are happening and increasingly happening. So this particular prophecy I see being fulfilled right before our eyes is the building of a new temple and the restarting of the sacrifices. But we've got to hold up. There is not an explicit prophecy that the temple will be rebuilt or that there will be a new temple. Did you catch that? There is not an explicit prophecy in the Bible that says there will be a new temple in the last days, and that the sacrifices will be restarted. That's a big statement when so much of what we talk about in laying out the events of the last days revolves around this temple. But there are prophecies, especially and explicitly that say the Antichrist will end the daily sacrifices. So if we're in a time where there are no daily sacrifices, where there have not been for 2,000 years, then we would expect if they are ended in the last days, then they have to restart. And so that's where we get this prophecy that the sacrifices will start again. And along the same lines with the temple, even though it's a little less explicit, we would assume if sacrifices restart, that means that's done in a new temple or something along the lines of a new temple. And then there are some passages that seem to refer to a temple existing. And if we do not have a temple, then therefore one has to be built. So what are those passages that give a prophecy of these sacrifices ending and allude to a temple? Well, Daniel 9, verse 27, of course, part of the 70 weeks prophecy, we find one of these. Reading from the NIV, he, I believe the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many for 1-7. We understand those seven to be a group of 7 years. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering, and at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So this is where we have the abomination of desolation, or better said, the abomination that leads to desolation. And I believe more accurately, it reads abominations. But what we're focusing on is the end of the sacrifices and the allusion to the temple. Well, did you catch it? It said, in the middle of those 7 years, he will put an end to the sacrifice and the offerings. Very explicit, very clear. Going back to the original language, very clear. And did you notice? I read, it said, and at the temple, he will set up this abomination that leads to desolation. The issue is, that's the NIV's portrayal of this, but I want to hear some comparisons out there. I want to start in the New King James, where we read, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of that week, or sevens, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Check, again, that's clear. And on the wing of abominations, he shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. No temple in the New King James or in the King James. Rather, the phrase in place of that is wing of abominations. It's the New King James. Let's check out the English Standard Version. Reads, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. For half of the week, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. Again, check, that's clear. And on the wing of abominations shall one come who make desolate. Again, instead of temple, you don't have the phrase temple there, but you have wing of abominations. Let's go to the New American Standard. Of course, I believe New American Standard is probably the closest to the original language. Really, for any verse, English Standard Version's right there close to that. New American Standard reads, and he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering. Again, check. That's there, very clear. On the wing of abominations will come one to make desolate, even unto complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one that makes desolate. Again, explicitly addresses the stop to the sacrifice, but does not mention the temple. Rather, uses this phrase again, wing of abominations. And when you go to the original language, you find this word being translated here, wing, but it's a wing and an extension, this corner, the extreme edge, the edge of a sheet, that type of language there. And again, New American Standard, I think the English Standard did this as well. Making abominations plural is important there. And then just the structure of the original language is talking about it being a wing of these abominations are the, you know, these abominations are there. But I want to read how the Coleman Christian Standard Bible deals with this, because I think this is how the NIV, what it's assuming, and how we probably, for the most part, have translated this. It says, "He will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to the sacrifice and offering, and the abomination of desolation will be on a wing of the temple until the decreed destruction is poured out on the desolator." And so, in the Holman Christian, it translates it, and again, I think this is what the NIV is doing, is basically on a in a portion, on a wing of this temple or temple structure, will be these abominations. But the language talks about this wing, this extension, where the abominations are. Now, we'll come back to why we're going to put that at the temple. But again, what I'm wanting to make sure we're doing, because all of these episodes, all of this podcast is in vain if we're not trying to rightly divide the word, right? Like, there's so much craziness in the prophecy world. What we're trying to do is say, okay, what's in the text and what can we know for certain? And we talk about the temple all the time, but I want to make sure we're seeing, okay, this is what Scripture says. So we've got Daniel 9. The same narrative continues throughout the book of Daniel. We see it again in Daniel 11, verse 31, where we read, again from the NIV, "His, the Antichrist, I believe, armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish the daily sacrifice. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation." So at Daniel 11, I inserted the Antichrist there with his armed forces. Daniel 11, the context there would be the king of the north, who I believe is the Antichrist. But the context, of course, of Daniel 11 is this battle between the king of the north, the king of the south. King of the north eventually turns to the beautiful land, to Israel. And we see this happening. So did you notice? It says, it mentions here in the NIV, the temple fortress. "He will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish the daily sacrifice." Daily sacrifice, clear. Again, explicit. It says that. That passes. The timing, because it also says, "Then he will set up the abomination that caused desolation." Exact same timing, exact same scenario, exact same story as we're seeing in Daniel 9:27. So we're talking about the same point here. So if this is the case, then it includes the temple, which is good. But let's go and check out some other versions on this. Again, starting with the New King James, it says, "And forces shall be mustered by him," king of the north, "and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation." Do notice that it moves to singular here, which is interesting. Let's go back to the New American Standard. "Forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice, and they will set up the abomination of desolation." English Standard, "Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortress, and shall take away the regular burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate." Again, for all of these, the sacrifice checks out. Clear as day. Sacrifices will be abolished, will be ended. But this phrase, temple fortress, notice how most of them said sanctuary fortress. English Standard puts it into two phrases. The NIV, going back to the Holman Christian as well, combines temple and fortress. So which is it? Is it the temple? Well, you've got two nouns here. You've got one that means best interpreted sanctuary. Most of the time, it's interpreted sanctuary within Scripture. But in those references, sanctuary points back to the temple, whether that's Solomon's, Herod's, or even the tabernacle. It's safe to say temple here. It's interesting how it phrases the word after that that could be translated fortress or stronghold. Place of strength. I think it, ultimately strength is the term, but used for fortress. What does that mean? Well, the best explanation that I've seen is that this is a, is that linguistically this is an apposition. It's basically repeating the same thing. That it's saying, desecrate the temple, which is this stronghold or fortress. Within commentaries, you see that deal with it in this way. They then deal with it. Okay, is it talking about that this is a like a spiritual stronghold, place of strength within Israel? Or is this talking about the Temple Mount being fortified? And either one could be the case. I think one thing that's really helpful for the whole book of Daniel and understanding this, I mean, really Daniel 7 through Daniel 11, even including Daniel 12, is understanding the background of the book of Maccabees to understand this. And within that, you see as the temple is taken, as Jerusalem's taken, the temple area is fortified. And so it's likely we will see that repeated in that again. So however you look at it, I've seen so many people do just crazy things with this, but this is what we have with the language. So, hey, possibly. It definitely seems like temple's included here. And then we go to one other place within the book of Daniel, Daniel 12:11, which says, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Again, directly, explicitly talks about the daily sacrifice being abolished. Now, but it timestamps this, right? At the time that this abomination that happens that ultimately leads to the desolation of the Antichrist. Well, we see this pop back up. Jesus in Matthew 24, he definitely points the reader in verse 15 as he's given these signs. He says, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet of Daniel. So Jesus identifies this abomination happening in the holy place, which again we would count as the temple, location of the temple. We see the same thing repeated in Luke 21:20. It phrases it a bit different, Jesus. Here it's recorded, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. So in Matthew, it's focused on this abomination that's set up, and it's almost focused on what we see in chapter 9 of Daniel, while here in Luke, it's really focused on what we see in Daniel 11. It's talking about the army coming up against that. And then I think also bringing in Revelation 13 here, where we read about this image being put up of the first beast. Again, interestingly, it's not necessarily connected to the temple, but you know, we assume in a lot of cases this is the abomination. More details about that. Okay, so that's what we have. That's what we have within Scripture. So there's no explicit, there will be a temple rebuilt. The sacrifices will restart. But if they ain't happening, and they got to end, it's prophesied they're going to end, they've got to start. So I think really the key is the sacrifices, but of course that includes, possibly and likely includes the temple as he seems tied to each other. I spent a lot more time on that than I planned, laying the groundwork of what this prophecy is, but I really believe it's important, man, because you can just scroll through and think of all the episodes we have on the temple, on the sacrifices. We need to know what's in Scripture, because I hear it all the time. We just flippantly say, hey, the Bible says, you know, prophesies this new temple is there's gonna be this temple rebuilt, there's a new temple. Yeah, then not exactly. But I believe that's true as well. And so as I'm there within Israel, I felt like this is happening right before my eyes. And though it's happening right before our eyes, you're gonna have to wait till the next episode to hear me talk about how I saw it in particularly unfolding when I was there. What a cliffhanger. Did I do good on the cliffhanger? Maybe so. I hope you catch the next episode as I talk about, in particular, what's happening on the ground in light of this prophecy concerning the end of the daily sacrifices and in relation to the temple. So check out the next episode and the following episodes as I dive into prophecies being fulfilled right before our eyes.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.